Sheep, the woolly ones, need many things from the shepherd. So too do the human ones. Jesus is our shepherd. Woolly sheep are unpredictable, a bit scatty, frightened of many things, wayward, and they wander off. So too are we, human sheep. After a bit of research, I made a list of all the characteristics of the woolly sheep. Many of the characteristics are shared by human sheep. I have also found words of Jesus and other things which apply to those characteristics. I'm not sure why my mind went in that direction, but perhaps the promises in Psalm 23 led me there. First of all, characteristic of sheep do not like tension. If tense, they can't lay down. They don't handle tense very well. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." This is a promise. It deals with tension and other things. Sheep hate flying insects, don't we all? There are many tiny irritations in life. We can't avoid them, but we can cope if we have Jesus by our side. Jesus said, and you are all aware of this scripture, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Sheep need someone to lead them to fresh pastures. So do we. The call is to move forward, forgetting, or rather not taking too much to heart of the things of the past, but reach forward for the things which are before us. Press towards the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus, as we read in Philippians. We can't mark time. The calling is to move forward. Sometimes this is unsettling, but Jesus goes before us. A strange way my brain works, as I wrote those words, I thought of an old hymn, and you're going to get the benefit of it now. This hymn is meant to drive us forward. I remember singing that over many years ago. It may not be on the mountain's height or over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front. My Lord will have need of me. But if by a still small voice he calls to paths that I may not know, I'll answer, "Dear Lord, with my hand in thine, I'll go where you want me to go." Sheep need calmness, so do I right now. They need to know where the shepherd is. Think of the disciples in that sinking fishing boat. Jesus fast asleep in the back. I'm not sure he was really fast asleep. He was giving the impression, I suspect, to make a point. And his disciples went to him and said, "Don't you know what's going on? We're drowning in a minute. Will you help? Will you do something?" That tells you something else. They knew that they could do that. They knew that he would help. And Jesus stood and rebuked the winds and waves, and there was a great calm. This still happens, as many have testified, and many will testify. Sheep need to be found again when they stray. Jesus said, "I am come to find that which is lost." The parable of the lost sheep, as we talk to the children about. I must introduce a note of humour here. Anne and I were in the US state capital, Washington, D.C., with loads of people we knew, some we didn't. And it was church service in the grounds and the house of the pastor of the congregation in that city. And because it was Washington, D.C., where high, sort of the heart of America, there were all sorts of people there. The pastor, in his workaday life, the senior advisor to the president, and there were members of the FBI services, all sorts of people there. I looked around, I couldn't believe we were really there. And he told the story of the lost sheep, but this was our friend who died this year, but he told us the story of the lost sheep. And right at the end, he said the farmer who lost the sheep called all his friends together and said, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep that was lost." And then, as a quiet aside, he said, "Oh, by the way, we're having mutton for dinner tonight." I think you'll remember that story now. When sheep fall or are hurt, they need healing. Now, this is a very personal testimony. Anne and I, many years ago, knew and loved a man called George Barrington. I don't know, he had a very serious illness. He was small, he was weedy, he was short, but he made up for all those things in what he really was. He had, I think it was Parkinson's or something like that. Then he went blind. He said these words. I'm sorry, I'm emotional. "I have not been cured but I have been healed. That's what Jesus does for us. Sheep need protection. They wander into the wrong sort of water. Psalm 23 says, "He leads us beside the still waters," in more ways than one. They can't defend themselves. They can't defend themselves. They need protection. They're about the most useless creature you could imagine at defending themselves. St. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." They wander around with no sense of direction. I remember one of my partners when I worked in London saying that one of his ancestors way back was a freeman of the City of London, and he was the ancestor was entitled to take a flock of sheep over London Bridge. Have you heard that? Well, it was a disaster because sheep wander around. But Psalm 23 says, "He leads me in paths of righteousness." He gives us direction. This one I think I may have added. They need a shepherd, not a cowboy. St. Matthew says, "Beware of false prophets." And there are many false prophets in our lives today. We need a shepherd. A shepherd in those days uproots poisonous plants. God says he restores our soul. He rids it of the poison that sometimes is in it. Sheep are called by name. The shepherds know each sheep. And St. John says, "I go before them and my sheep follow me, for they know my name." The sheep also know the shepherd. In days of the past, there were no sheepdogs. The only way a sheep would follow the shepherd was for the shepherd to be known to the sheep, to be so kind and all-encompassing for the sheep that it would naturally want to follow him. There are so many more of these characteristics, and no time to say, but I think it was no wonder that King David, shepherd boy in his roots, said, "The Lord's my shepherd." All these and many more are to be found in us, in this congregation, are to be found many, many, many good people who have testimonies of our Jesus, our shepherd. Safe in the shepherd's arms is spot on, I think. So let's look briefly at the words of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. We just whiz through that. But when you think about it, we're saying that the Lord God Almighty, creator of everything, is my shepherd. He leads me. It's just an incredible statement. Little me, and the Lord God Almighty loves me. I shall not want for anything. There's a hymn that says, "In sickness, in health, in poverty's veil, or abounding in health, I love my Lord." We can look to Jesus for support and strength, whatever our circumstances. As Pat said to us last week, when disaster struck them, her and her friends on holiday, Jesus answered their prayers. He leads me. But it needs me to be willing to want to be led. My testimony is that as I look back, I can see our shepherd's hand in my life. He restores my soul. This is probably more important than physical health. He restores my soul. I thought of an oil painting. Over the years, it's become grubby. It's become dirty, tarnished. You can hardly see what's been painted. And then a restorer gets hold of it. And all of a sudden, it's back to its original beauty. And everyone that can see it is blessed. He restores my soul. He asks us to walk in paths of righteousness. The thing I thought of there was something I heard many years ago. Wickedness never was happiness. God hates the sin but loves the sinner. It takes quite a bit to do that when you think about it. If somebody's being really rotten to us, it's very hard to love them, isn't it? Or if something tragic has happened. But God loves us, but cannot accept the sin. You'll be relieved to hear I'm getting towards the end. I don't know how many of you will have seen or read the poem Footprints in the Sand. Does anybody? Oh, good, nobody's. Oh, some. It's the people at the back. They all seem to know everything. Right, okay, I'll tell you. I'll briefly summarise it. A man was walking along the seashore, and across the sky was, he dreamed this, by the way, across the sky was everything that had happened to him in his life, good times, bad times. And as he looked down, he saw another set of footprints here, and they followed him exactly. Then he looked back and saw that several places the footprints weren't there, the second pair. And he said he was given to understand that those footprints were God's. And he said, in his puzzlement, he said to God, "Why is it that in those bad times, those footprints weren't there? Don't you love me? Have I not understood?" And God said to him, "You misunderstand. Of course I love you. I do all I can for you. But when those footprints aren't there, and only one set of footprints were there, that was when I carried you. I think that's said it all, really, that God carries us even when we don't know it. But he bears us up and he cares for us. So I have to finish with a, not quite a warning, an admonition, that's a better word. We shouldn't forget that we are shepherds as well. We have responsibilities to others. We should love the unlovely. We should care for those who are suffering. We should look around and see whose lives we could help and bless. This congregation is well down that path. The things that I see going on and the things that people do here for others is just amazing. But we just need to keep it in our heads that if we love our shepherd, then we should be a shepherd for others. Heather has a reading, almost a poem, to give us. It's quite a telling poem, in my opinion, very challenging.
The touch of the master's hand. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What am I bidden, good folks?" he cried. "Who will start bidding for me? A pound? A pound then. Two? Only two? 2 pounds, and who will make it three? 3 pounds once, 3 pounds twice. Going for, oh, but no. From the room far back, a grey-haired man came forward and picked up the bow, then wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening the loose strings, he played a melody pure and sweet, as sweet as a carolling angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bidden for the old violin?" And he held it up with the bow. "£1,000, and who'll make it two? 2,000, and who'll make it three? 3,000 once, 3,000 twice, and going and gone," said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, "We do not quite understand. What changed its worth?" Swift came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scattered with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once and going twice. He's going and almost gone. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought by the touch of the master's hand.
Thank you, Heather. I was going to comment, but I don't think I need to, because the meaning of that poem is all too clear. And these people who are suffering are all around, and they need us to provide the touch of the master's hand.